please hear this word from God, Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." This is the word of God.
Thanks, Dr. Traub. It's great to be back on campus here. I was in this room for my son Sam and daughter-in-law Peggy's graduation from the Master of Arts and Higher Education program a number of years ago. But when I taught at Grove City College, I used to come down here regularly to referee rugby games, which was always a friendly rivalry. So it's good to be back with you. I'm a big fan of country music. Any other country music fans here? That comes as a surprise to many people because I don't exactly fit your stereotype of a redneck. I don't drive a pickup truck. My dog is a King Charles Cavalier Spaniel. I'm not really the demographic for country music fans, but I'm a big fan of country music because the songs seem true to life. They describe the feelings of ordinary people who live down-to-earth lives, like the song by Martina McBride, "I Am So Blessed." In that song, she describes the simple things of life that bring her pleasure, such as the feel of a hardwood floor under her feet or the sound of her children at play. And she concludes, "I am so blessed." And that surely is a universally desired feeling. We all want to be able to say, "I am so blessed." But how do we find that life of blessing? In this often troubled world, where is true blessing to be found? Well, in this brief portion of Scripture that was read for us, there are three foundational truths about blessing: where blessing comes from, what blessing is, and how you can receive this life of blessing. The first truth of the passage is where blessing comes from. Blessing comes from the Lord. Three times the Lord reiterates it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And in case you miss it, it says at the end, I myself will bless them. The Hebrew is emphatic there. Now, why is there so much stress here on where true blessing comes from? Surely it's because of our natural tendency to seek blessing in all of the wrong places. In Jeremiah 2:13, the Lord laments this tendency on the part of his people. He says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they've dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." You see, instead of going to seek blessing from God, they try to find their blessings in places where there was no true blessing. And we too have tried to dig our own cisterns to find blessing in all the wrong places. We have our own muddy pools from which we drink. Some of us try to find blessing in our possessions. We try to find significance by acquiring everything on our want list, whether that want list includes a brand new set of boots, just right for this kind of weather outside, or the new iPhone, or the latest gaming computer, or whatever it is. You feel, if I just had those things, then I would be blessed. Others of you perhaps are seeking blessing in relationships. If only I had a relationship, or if only I had a better relationship, then I would be blessed. For still others, you look for blessing in respect from your colleagues, your professors, your fellow students, You want to be admired by the people around you. I grew up learning about Thomas the Tank Engine. Now, those of you who know Thomas the Tank Engine will know that the highest praise that he can receive from the Fat Controller, or as you call them in politically correct America, the Topham Hat, he's really the Fat Controller. The highest praise he can give to Thomas is, "Thomas, you're a really useful engine." My heart cries out for people to say that to me. You are a really useful person. That's not where blessing lies. It doesn't lie in possessions. It doesn't lie in relationships. It doesn't lie in respect. Where does it lie then? Well, the priestly benediction tells us. Blessing lies in a face-to-face relationship with the Lord, experiencing His favor and His protection. To begin with, the benediction starts, "May the Lord bless you and keep you." In other words, may the Lord provide you with what you need and protect you from harm. The Lord knows you need food to eat and drink for your body. He knows you need clothes to wear and somewhere to live. The Lord's blessing includes all of those things given to us in exactly the right measure with a father's care and attention. And there's nothing wrong with desiring those things and asking God to give them to us. We just did in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." The Lord's protection and keeping of His people is a wonderful, reassuring truth. But God's blessing on His people is much, much more than having enough in your cupboards to eat and nothing to cause you to worry. Otherwise, many of us here today would have to conclude that actually we're not so blessed right now. And the priestly benediction unpacks the deeper aspects of the Lord's blessing in two vivid and related images. May the Lord make His face shine upon you, and may the Lord turn His face towards you. True blessing is knowing God face to face. The idea of having God's face shine when He looks at you is a wonderful image, isn't it? Have you ever seen somebody's face shine? Perhaps it's a little child on Christmas morning as they tear into that mound of presents in front of them. Or an elderly couple who look at each other after 60 years of marriage and you just see them beam in delight to be together. This is the heart of blessing, to have the Lord delight in you so much that His face lights up every time He sees you. Blessing is not just that our faces shine when we see Him, but that His face shines when He looks at you. Can you imagine God delighting in you in that way? It's what every child longs for from his or her father. And some of us never got that from our earthly fathers. We wanted so desperately to know that we mattered to them, and we never felt it. We never felt their faces shine with pleasure when they looked at us. But God wants you to feel His blessing today. He wants you to feel His pleasure, to feel that His face shines when He looks upon you. That is blessing indeed, to know that the Lord's face is turned towards you, that you know His favor. That's a blessing that you can have in the hardest of times, when your life is falling apart and every other hope is lost. Let me ask you, do you know this kind of blessing in your relationship with your Heavenly Father? But the third aspect of the passage is, how do we receive this blessing? And the answer is that the Lord gives it to His people freely, out of His grace and mercy, which is not how most people in ancient times thought about the gods. They thought you had to manipulate good things for yourself from the gods. That's why you went to the priest. The priest was the person who had connections, who had knowledge, who would enable you to get what you wanted. In other words, ancient people thought about dealing with the gods the way we feel about dealing with the government. The government has enormous ability to make your life run smoothly or to make your life miserable, as I discovered in my dealings with the Immigration and Naturalization Service in Southern California a number of years ago. But it's remarkably difficult to get the government to give you what you want. They may decide to help you, or they may not. Sometimes you get the impression that the government just doesn't care about you. Go figure. And that's how ancient people thought about the gods. You went to the priest because he was the expert who could get a blessing for you from the gods. You can see that mindset at work in Jacob. God promised Jacob a blessing before he was even born. And he spent his whole life trying to steal the blessing that he'd been promised. He wrestled with his brother Esau for the birthright. He wrestled with his uncle Laban for his daughters and his sheep. But all the time, God was the one that he really needed to wrestle with. And finally, Jacob received the blessing he'd been seeking all of his life when he was too wounded to wrestle any longer. When all he could do was to cling on to God, that is when finally he was ready to receive God's blessing. You and I, we're so like Jacob. We think we need to steal a blessing from the Lord. We need to wrestle a blessing from his reluctant grasp. Or we need to twist God's arm into somehow giving us a blessing. But what do we see in this passage? The Lord is the one who initiates the blessing. He comes to Moses and Aaron. He says, I want you to place my blessing upon this people. And here is how you do it. There's no magic. There's no trickery. There's no wrestling with God in the priestly benediction. The Lord initiates it because he wants to bless his people and to give them his peace. Now, what makes God's desire to bless his people so amazing is the fact that we don't deserve his blessing at all. Before this passage, in the previous two chapters of the book of Numbers, there are a whole series of laws. In Numbers 5, there are laws that cover the task for a wife who is accused of unfaithfulness. And in Numbers 6, there are laws that cover the case of a person who takes a Nazarite vow. That is, a vow to live for a period of time specially devoted to the Lord. Now, which of those two people is more like Israel? The faithless wife or the totally devoted person? Well, they were supposed to be the totally devoted person. The Nazarite was intended to be a picture to Israel of the kind of devotion that they were all to show to the Lord. But in practice, throughout their history, Israel was so often the faithless wife, going after other gods, complaining against the Lord, grumbling and rebelling. Now, which of those two people is more like you? More like me? For myself, it's not hard to figure out, am I Nazarite or faithless wife? The reality is, by nature, I am completely faithless. Before God found me and brought me to himself, I was dead in my transgressions and sins, as Paul tells us in Ephesians 2. Even after God found me and saved me, even after he showed his great love to me, still my heart wanders. Still my heart complains. Still I find myself grumbling against God. Far too often I'm looking for my blessing in all the wrong places. I'm the faithless wife, not the Nazarite. But God is nonetheless determined to bless me. The people that Jesus came to seek and to save are not the Nazarites. They're the sinners. Because we all fall short of God's perfect standard. God is able to bless faithless people like me because he sent his own son to be completely devoted to him in my place. Jesus Christ came and lived that life of perfect devotion to God. He fulfilled the embodiment of the Nazarite ideal of separation from evil and death. He was the one who perfectly kept God's law in all of its details. His heart constantly filled with loving obedience to God. He is the one who truly earned the Lord's blessing. At his baptism, his father said, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And then on the Mount of Transfiguration, when his glory was revealed to his closest disciples, those disciples heard the Father say of Jesus, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." On the mountain, Jesus was physically illuminated with this reflected glory of the Father's presence and favor. Jesus surely knew the Father's face turned towards him in blessing. But then came the week of Jesus' passion, when obedience to his Father's will took Jesus into the deepest darkness for us. It wasn't just the weight of that heavy cross on his flayed back that drove him to his knees. It was the burden of my unfaithfulness and yours as well. He paid for the sin of my faithless hands and wandering feet in the nails that transfixed his obedient hands and obedient feet. He atoned for the sin of my idolatrous heart as his faithful heart was pierced by that Roman soldier's spear. As God the Father made him who knew no sin be sin for me, Jesus took into himself my curse. On the cross, Jesus took into himself the very curse of God. It wasn't just the crowd that cried out, "Crucify him." It wasn't just the Roman soldiers who mocked him and the chief priests who said, "Come on down from the cross and we'll believe in you." On the cross, Jesus felt the Father's curse. And he felt it for you and for me. Because the cross is the antithesis of the priestly benediction. Did God the Father bless Jesus and keep him when he was on the cross? No. He handed him over into the power of those who hated him, who wanted to kill him. Did God the Father make his face shine upon Jesus on the cross? No, he poured out his wrath and his crushing anger against sin upon him. Did God the Father turn his face toward Jesus on the cross and give him peace? No. He turned his face away from him so that Jesus cried out in agony, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And as Jesus lifted his eyes up to heaven, for the first time in all eternity, there was no answering view of his Father's face. Even the Son turned its countenance away from Jesus on the cross, as if the universe itself could not bear to look at him. At that moment for Jesus, there was no peace. He was bruised for our iniquity. He was broken for our sin. He was wounded for our faithfulness. He was cursed for our blessing. And he himself is our peace. In Jesus, we now receive God's blessing. Now my sin and faithlessness has been fully paid for. Now the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ will certainly bless me and keep me for his sake. Now I know that nothing in all creation can separate me from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Now I know that the Father looks at me with pleasure. His face lights up every time he sees me because he sees me united to his own Son, Jesus Christ. As a Christian, I have the name of Jesus written indelibly upon my soul. And so the Father delights to bless me in Christ with every spiritual blessing for his sake. Now, some of you here today may never have experienced this blessing of God. You've never felt his favor because you've never given your life to Christ. You need to come to Christ today to receive this blessing of a new life under the smile of God. It is the only way to true blessing and peace, a blessing that lasts for all eternity. And others of you here today are believers. But as you walk through this desert world, you have forgotten where your blessing is to be found. That's why you're so concerned with the worries and cares of this life, uncertain that your Heavenly Father will protect you. That's why you're so easily tempted and led astray into sin, abandoning your father's wise law for immediate gratification. That's why you're so consumed with anger or with fear, unsure of your father's love. That's why you're so tied in knots about your future, devoid of the Father's gift of peace. You have forgotten the Father's favor and the intense cost with which it was bought. But fortunately, the Lord knows your weakness, just as He knows my weakness. And that's why Aaron was instructed to repeat this blessing to the Israelites often, because the Lord knows that we so easily forget and seek our blessing in all the wrong places. That's why we conclude our worship services week after week with a benediction, God's authoritative statement of His favor towards us in Jesus Christ. Every day, the Father's face lights up to behold you, because He sees you clothed in the sacrifice of His Son. Every day, He looks on you, He turns His face toward you, and He says, "This too is my Son, whom I love. This too is my daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Receive my peace, beloved of the Lord, upon whom His favor rests." The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face toward you and give you His peace. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the peace that is ours in Jesus Christ, a peace that the world cannot give or even understand, but You give freely to all those who come to You in Jesus. Lord, we pray that You would bring to Yourself those who don't yet know You, and You would strengthen and encourage those who are weary and struggling, that You would remind them that Your face lights up when You look at them, that You are delighted with them for the sake of Jesus, and You will never let them go. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.